It is Don Henley and the Boys of Summer. Now, if you lost someone during the Troubles, the next conversation will probably be difficult for you to listen to. And if you lost someone as a result of the actions of the notorious Glen Ann gang, well, then you may or may not want to listen to our conversation. Now, the Glen Ann gang were associated with a number of atrocities, including the Dublin and Monaghan bombings, the killing of members of the Miami Show Band, the attacks on a family known as the Reeves in South Armagh, and the O'Dowds in South Armagh. They were associated with the Hillcrest car bombing in the mid-1970s. All of these attacks happened in the early to mid-1970s, and the Glen Ann gang were notorious killers. Now, a documentary has been made about them, and I want to speak to the documentary maker, Sean Murray. Sean, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Sean, it must be a very difficult story to tell because, you know, I was relatively young in my early teens when the Glen Ann gang were in full flow in that South Armagh area, and I didn't live very far away from where people were being just murdered at will by them. And we would hear about the Glen Ann gang, but the more we heard about them, the more sinister they sounded, simply because the members of the gang had an association with the security forces. I presume this all comes out in your documentary.
Well, it does indeed. I think the shocking story of the Glen Ann gang is that the members comprised members of the RUC, the UDR, British Army Intelligence, and of course Loyalist paramilitaries.
And I've itemised or listed some of the deaths that they were responsible for. Now, people may be asking the question, why have you made a documentary about them? What's to be gained from this?
Well, I felt that there needed to be a film that discussed the overarching theme of collusion. And I thought, after reading Alan Cadwallader's book, Lethal Allies, the Glen Ann series of killings was probably the biggest that I had heard of, and I was quite shocked when I had read Anne's book. So I had approached Anne Cadwallader after I'd read the book, and we began to discuss how we might bring these stories to a wider audience, to an international audience, and that's really the genesis of the film.
Some of the most sinister people in a country that had incredibly sinister characters from all walks of life operating in the dark of night and sometimes in the light of day. But some of the most sinister characters were involved in the Glen Ann gang. And the fact that it's more or less accepted that they were protected is a damning commentary on our history, isn't it?
Well, it is indeed. And you've just mentioned about sinister characters. And in the film, it does name a number of perpetrators for context, just to let the audience know, you know, these members are part of the police force, the RUC. They were also members of the UDR, which was the biggest regiment in the British Army at the time. But when we're talking about sinister characters, there's people that were directing this who we probably will never know. It's easy, through the bad apple theory, to have photograph of these perpetrators or to outline the work that they had carried out. But it's the people at the very, very top who were directing this that were the most sinister, Frank. And I think that's what the film tries to say, you know.
I want to play a clip here, a short snippet from the trailer. And this is a former member of the RUC speaking, and he's a self-confessed member of the Glen Ann gang. His name is John Weir.
The plan that was decided on was to shoot up a school in Belleix.
You say shoot up a school, do you mean kill the primary school children in the school?
Children, teachers, yes.
This is a former member of the police force admitting that the gang who killed the Miami Show Band, who killed numerous Catholics in South Armagh, they were prepared to go into the primary school in Belleix in South Armagh. They were actually planning to do this. Now, of course, obviously, thank God, they never carried it out. But there was a plan, and by your investigation, Sean, or going by what you believe from researching this, it wasn't just a crazy plan from a few rogues like Weir. There was more to it than this.
Yes, well, I think that to give it context, I think there was a bit of a power struggle going on between a British military intelligence. So you had the hawks and doves within British military intelligence, and the hawks had an idea that they would want to create something so bad that they would be able to enact a gloves-off approach to the IRA, basically a conventional war to wipe out the IRA. And I'm afraid this act was to organize a series of killings, and it wasn't just a Catholic primary school attack. It was also the modus operandi of the gang was to attack two places at the one time. They were also going to go to a nun's convent in Newry and also kill a number of nuns in the convent at the same time. And what's striking about this is that the UVF themselves, who were involved in numerous killings at the time, thought this idea was just off the scale, and they themselves stopped the attack going ahead. They felt that this was a step too far.
Now, this is happening at a time when incredible atrocities are being carried out by the IRA as well. It dovetails with King's Mill. It dovetails with massacres carried out by Republicans.
Well, that's correct. What we try to do, I always have to stay true to being a storyteller, Frank. I mean, the scale of the killings, over 120 killings of innocent civilians, to try and pull that together. In a way, the most difficult task was that I had so much information, and it was trying to build a narrative from the information that I had. But I think the dramatic arc in the film is when we look at January 1976, when you had the killings of the three Reedy brothers, and also the three members of the O'Dowd family on the 4th of January 1976. And of course, we know what happened then. The night after, we had the King's Mills massacre, where 10 innocent Protestant workmen were killed. And this set the scene for what was to happen in the Catholic primary school then. So the plan then was to commit an act so bad that basically we would enter into a civil war.
The other element that I remember clearly was when investigations were carried out into this, and I at this moment in time, I don't want to mention the farm that I'm alluding to here, simply because I don't have the legal documents in front of me. But a lot of this was being planned from a farm in Armagh, and the people who were rogue elements within the security forces and those loyalist paramilitaries were coming and going to that farm and were being facilitated by that farmer.
That's correct. Yeah, that was George Mitchell. I had no problem in naming that farm. It was Mitchell's farm. George Mitchell was an RUC man. And that was the center stage for many attacks by the Glenarm gang. There were many weapons. And it's also linked, we now know in later years, to the South African arms shipment. The guns also went to Mitchell's farm. This is long after, by the way, the security forces knew about the events around the Glenarm gang and how central George Mitchell was to that.
And now, today, a lot of questions still haven't been answered with regards to who killed who was responsible ultimately for these dastardly acts, these atrocities, and where collusion may have been, including an understanding of what really happened in the Dublin Monaghan bombings that killed so many people. Do you think the real answers will come to the fore when people see your documentary? Will it help to spark more discussion, more debate, and most importantly of all, add to the reality of what happened?
Well, I think that there needs to be more stories out there, and they need to be platformed from all communities. I don't think we'll have to fear stories from each other. I think the role of film has an important part to play in conflict transformation. I think it's pivotal, actually, in the role of the arts in general. And I think once we hear each other's stories, we can take a step back and we can say to ourselves, you know, we've always had this one-dimensional view of the other community. But when we take a step back, we understand the hurt that we have inflicted on each other in each community. And collusion did happen. and it happened on a grand scale. And I don't think there's much point in arguing against that anymore. And this is an point for the film, because it's very, very critical of all states that are involved in the conflict. It's a victim-centred. It's a film that works. I situate my own work in the field of transitional justice, where the work from grassroots and working from the bottom up is victim-centred. It is for victims, not about perpetrators. And I think once we are really honest with each other about the conflict, that there are many truths and that there are massacres carried out by all involved in the conflict, I think it's only then that we can really start to build the process of conflict transformation.
And do you feel that the Republic of Ireland's government have questions to answer in relation to all of this as well?
Well, surely do, yes. I think they most definitely do. I think that there's documents there that they still haven't released. And I know that there's great work by Margaret Irwin from Justice for Forgotten, and she's constantly pressuring the Irish government on that case. But yeah, I certainly do as well. Of course, we know that the British government have continually and still do redact documents for 70 years plus, so that in the hope of victims and survivors during the conflict will long die out and we can forget about the role of the British government in the conflict.
When you speak to people like John Weir and you include commentary from a self-confessed gang member in the programme, what do they say about the others, including those who, for example, who would have been killed when they were trying to kill and successfully killed some of the Miami Show band? What do they say about those people who were part of that notorious gang?
Well, I think it's very, very easy to just, you know, name a perpetrator and say that these people are psychopaths. It's easy for us in 2019 to reflect back and make a comment like that. But we were living in crazy times, as you just mentioned earlier, Frank. People were sanitized by the murder. There was people being murdered every single day. Now, I think there were people there who took advantage within organizations, within the police service, within the British Army, who were unstable people, who took advantage of the conflict, and definitely were. There were people, I mean, just to name Robin Jackson, the leader of the Glen Allen gang, who was a serial killer, who killed over 100 people personally. Now, I don't think I can rationalize that and the type of killings people like that were involved in. But I don't think that we can draw a line across all combatants, if you'd like, to say that they were psychopaths. I think conditions where people lived during the conflict forced, whether they were loyalists or Republicans or policemen or members of the British Army, to do things that under normal circumstances they would never have done.
And Robin Jackson, you saw him as the leader of the Glen Allen gang. He was a former member of the Ulster Defence Regiment. Is he one of these notorious killers who went under a tabloid pseudonym? Did the tabloids have a nickname for him?
That's right. He was named the Jackal, and he was a member of the UDR, but also a special branch informer.
This particular gripping documentary, as it's been described, is about to premiere. Will we see it on television? Will there be an opportunity for people to see it generally? For those who want to make up their own minds, for those who may be listening to the radio programme thinking this is just another bashing the RUC, bashing the UDR, bashing the British government project, for those who feel that's maybe the agenda, for those who think that this is finally going to ask and answer questions that need to be asked and answered on behalf of the victims, for whatever reason people want to watch the documentary, how do they go about seeing it?
Well, what I would say for anyone who may be critical of the film is reserve judgment until you've seen the film, and then you can comment, and then we can enter into debate about the issues around the film. Anything that I have in the film is factual. It's based on the British government's own documents, Minister of Defence documents, and also from eyewitness testimonies from victims themselves. It's very difficult to argue against what you see in the film, so reserve judgment. The film can be seen from the 1st to the 7th of March at the QFT in Belfast. It will also be screened in RT in May, and it's available from streaming services, iTunes, Amazon Prime, etc. from April.
Okay. Sean, thanks for coming on the programme. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank. Thanks.
That's the documentary director, the film director, Sean Murray. Have a look at it if you get a chance and let us know what you think. The story of the Glen Ann gang who put a shudder of fear, I think, down the spines of practically everyone. It's coming up on 25 past 10.